It is great to be known as a Christian. And it is great to be known as people of the book, people who love the Bible, God's Word, people who long to get into it, to listen to it, to learn from it, to read it, and to be able to share it with others. People of the book. That's what we're going to be studying this morning. I'm glad you're here. I hope that you have your Bibles, your devices ready to go. We're going to be looking at quite a number of passages from both the Old and the New Testament this morning as we look at this concept of people of the book. You know, many years ago, it wasn't at all uncommon to find people that went to church quite a bit, read their Bible every day, and knew very intimately all of the stories of the Bible, all of the characters of the Bible, and all the commands of the Bible. These people were students of the Bible. They weren't necessarily scholars in any other right. As a matter of fact, many people from rural areas, farmers and others, would be very, very well read in the Bible, even though they may not have progressed very far in school. And we wonder, with today's advancement in scholarship, why it is that today we are not known as people of the Bible as might have been the case 50 or 60 years ago. And I would submit to you that perhaps we're not known today as being people of the Bible so much because we simply don't spend time in the Bible like they did back then. And so this series of lessons is meant to encourage us to get back on track, to read the Bible more frequently, to become people of the book as much as we can. Now, last Sunday morning, we began this six-lesson series with the study of rediscovering the book. That was the study of King Josiah. And as they found the book of the law that had been lost, and that king brought it in, and they turned the nation around to God for as long as he lived. And then last Sunday night, we looked at the aspect of time to read the instructions, time to go back to the Bible and read what it says. Let's know what the Bible says. Tonight, I hope that you'll be back because tonight will be a different type of lesson. We'll be studying, is that in the Bible? And so we'll be looking at several phrases, the sweat of the brow, to thine own self be true, salt of the earth, and several others that will be here tonight. And so I want you to be here. I promise not to embarrass anybody, to bring you up on stage and to have you take an open quiz if these are in the Bible or not. But we're going to go through and we're going to test our skills and knowledge, our knowledge of the Bible, to see if these things are there. But when we look at the Bible, there are various things that we learn from the Bible. And this is so important because in the Bible, we know God and we also meet Christ. We're able to know God's love and we're then able also to find God's peace. Because we read the Bible and study from it, we know about our sins. Because we also read the Bible, we weep at the cross, at the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us. But then also we are we're rejoicing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We also know that we can find assurance of our salvation because we read the Bible, we study it. We know what God has offered us and we know what we have received from Him. And then we also are able to see our purpose. And I think these things are so important for us that we see all of these things all by knowing God's book. I think it's important for us. So if you have your Bibles with you now, let's turn over to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, we're going to begin talking about Moses, and sometimes the people, they just don't want to choose God. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes choices are just so obvious to us that we ought to always choose the right thing. But sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't choose the right thing because we think, well, maybe, just maybe, there's something better on that other choice. But we obviously know between good and evil to choose good. Yet so many people in our world today are choosing evil over good. I don't know what motivates them to do that. I don't know who they're pointing their fingers at as the reason why they would choose evil. But all throughout recorded history, God has encouraged man to choose wisely, to choose good over evil. Let's begin our journey now looking at Exodus chapter 19, beginning at verse 3. This is before the giving of the Ten Commandments. I want you to notice here the focus that's placed on following God and all that God has. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And these are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord had commanded him. Now notice verse 8. Then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And so Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. Did you notice what God said? God said, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to listen to all that I say and follow all that I tell you to do, then you're going to have these great blessings. And when Moses delivered those words, the people came back and they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. In other words, they're choosing good over evil. They're choosing the right thing to do. And because of that, we rejoice. But it doesn't always end with good things. Not in the least. Let's go over to Exodus chapter 32, and we'll find there that just a short time later, Moses has gone up into the mountain now. God is giving him these commandments, and as he's up on the mountaintop, the people are sitting there, and they're getting tired. They're getting bored. They're getting restless and impatient. And because of that, they call on Aaron, who's the brother of Moses, and they said, Aaron, we need something to worship. This Moses, we don't know where he's gone. We don't know if he's going to come back or not. And so they went to Aaron, and Aaron really abdicated his responsibility as a leader. He stepped back from that, and instead of choosing to do what was right, he chose to do what was evil. And he said, all right, you bring me all the gold that you can find, and we'll fashion you an idol that you can worship. And so that's what they did. You know that story of the golden calf. Now look at verses 7 and 8 here. As this is going on, the Lord said to Moses, go and get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. And they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now, why would they do such a thing? Why would they so quickly turn and leave God, who brought them out of Egyptian captivity and into this land, soon to be a land of promise, if they would trust him? And, of course, they didn't trust him that long. I don't know the motivations of that, but just think of the implications. That here you are, you've been rescued from all of these years of bondage. You've gone out now from Egypt. You've seen miracle after miracle, sign after sign. God is taking care of you, and yet you are impatient. And yet you are longing for what you had before, which was an object or something there that you could fix your eyes upon and worship. It's such a short-sighted thing, isn't it? To think about making something that then you would elevate and worship. Something that cannot hear or speak or do for us, but we have done everything for it. It's such the opposite of following after the true and holy God. But yet this is what the people did. And Aaron was an accomplice with them. Now join me over in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And as we look over there, we're going to find in these first six verses that Moses is laying out a good choice for them. And we find a parallel of this in verses 15 and following, but we won't read that in this reading. Now, shall come to pass, verse 1, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I've commanded you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations on the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. So now the contrast of this, beginning of verse 15, he says quite the opposite. If you disobey the word of the Lord, then all these curses are going to come upon you. So there's no neutrality, and we ought not to fall for that. Many people say, well, you know, would you rather go to heaven or hell? And they might say, well, listen, preacher, I don't believe in either. I don't believe that there is an afterlife, so I'm going to live for myself and just run the gamble that there is no afterlife. Well, there's no middle ground. It's either with God or opposed to God, outside of God. Listen to some of these blessings that are here beginning in verse 3. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed you shall be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, that is your children, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl, and blessed you shall be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. All of these things are set up and predicated on our choice. Do we choose to follow God and all of His commandments, or do we choose to follow someone else? It's that simple. It's that easy. So that's why it's so important that we become people of the book and look at this. A couple of pages over now to chapter 30, and let's look at verses 19 and 20. This is part of a much larger reading. We would have started in verse 15 if we were studying just this passage, but I want us to focus in now what Moses is saying here. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, and that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Here in the Deuteronomy, which is the retelling of the law, pardon me, towards the end of the life of Moses, he's recounting these things, and he's saying, listen, I have set before you a very simple choice. You should choose life and not death. You should choose good and not evil. These are not difficult choices. Yet the world has convinced us generation after generation that we know better than God. Friends, we can't know better than God. Kyle Butt, when he was here Wednesday night in his invitation remarks, he mentioned his grandmother believing that the bald eagle had no feathers at all on its head. And Kyle said that he and his brother came in and took an encyclopedia and opened it up and said that the bald eagle's head is covered with feathers. And she basically said, I don't care what that book says. I don't believe a bald eagle has any feathers on its head. Well, that's a closed mind, you see. Now, we look at that from his illustration Wednesday night. And we see a person who is set in their ways, having learned something their entire life, and who is gripping on to that what they think is truth with all of their might in the face of every amount of evidence to the contrary. They're saying, I don't care what the truth is, I'm going to hold on to my truth. I love that illustration because that is exactly what mankind has done with God throughout the ages. You see, God says, you shall have no other gods before me. But we say, I'd rather spend time with sports, I'd rather spend time with family, I'd rather spend time in other things rather than to serve God at certain points of the week. We elevate these things as our own gods. Our graven images today are in the form of the devices that we have and the remote controls for our TVs. We worship so much more in this life than we should, as we should be worshiping God. But this closed mind concept is so very important. And we should never have a closed mind when it comes to God and His Word. Every single time we open the Bible, friends, we should anticipate learning something. Anticipate that something's going to be here that can help me be a better Christian, a better follower of Jesus today. And if we have that mind in us, then it won't matter what our previous beliefs have been. When the Word of the Lord is open to us and we begin to read this, and if we see a contradiction between what God says and what we do, then we should say, God has set before me life and death. God has set before me good and evil. Which will I choose? And I pray that we will all choose what is good. Well, people don't always choose God, and that's very unfortunate. Let's turn over to Joshua chapter 1, which was read to us as our text earlier today. Verses 7 through 9, Joshua, he inherits all of these people from Moses. You know that Moses took them out of the land of Egypt, just as a quick recap. The 10 plagues that were there, as Moses is going to Pharaoh, let my people go. He finally does, goes through the Red Sea. And you know, the Red Sea comes back on and drowns Pharaoh's armies. All of these things have been done for these people. Manna in the wilderness and also quail. Their clothes didn't wear out. All of these things were to their benefit. But you know that all of them died in the wilderness except those that were under the age of 20 and Joshua and Caleb. You know that from the story of the spies. As they sent out the 12 spies, 10 came back. They didn't have the faith to follow God. And so they convinced the people that we don't have faith to go forward. Because of that, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, we're 40 years into the future. Moses has now died. He was 120 years old. He was on the mountaintop. He could look over and see the promised land, but he couldn't go into it. That's the reference that Martin Luther King had in the speech before he was killed. I've been to the mountaintop. I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. That's the same parallel with what Moses was doing. And now Joshua has taken over from Moses. And so what he's done, he has inherited this very quarrelsome, argumentative, and sometimes stiff-necked people that don't always want to follow God. But here is what he's being told. He says, he's being told here in verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the left, right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you to be strong and be good of good courage? Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now, those are wonderful words of encouragement to Joshua here as he's going. And as we think about that, let's see the response here in verses 16 and 17. As he's talking to the people, they answered Joshua saying, "All that you commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. And just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses." Well, here's the problem. They're saying, we're going to heed, just as Moses, we heeded Moses in all things, we're going to heed you. Well, guess what? They didn't listen to Moses. They didn't follow God all the time. And because of that, those 40 years were 40 years of faithfulness, followed by unfaithfulness, followed by faithfulness again. Up and down they went on the loyalty chart to God. Here's what happens. Shortly after this, we're going to go into Jericho, and then we're going to have some battles with Ai. The problem is, it doesn't take very long before the people that said, "We're going to follow all the law, all the things that you say for us to do," they go back on that word, and they don't do it. They don't follow what Joshua told them to do. Let's look over Joshua chapter 24. We're not going to read this whole passage for the sake of time, but I want you to get the gist of what's going on. This entire chapter, by the way, is a recap of Joshua telling the children some of the things that God has done for them and the ways that they have either obeyed or not obeyed. Let's pick up in verse 14. "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which are on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, we know that passage there. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." What sometimes we fail to realize is that God's people had once again departed from God. Joshua is talking about, you've got idols in your houses. You've got people that you're following after things that aren't of God. You've got to straighten your lives out. Joshua now is at the end of his journey, and he's turning to the people, and here's basically what happens. The people said in verse 18, "We will also serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua answered and said, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God, and he will not forgive the transgressions or your sins." For, see, they have been two-faced. They've been not loyal to God all this time. And finally, Joshua says, "The Lord your God we will serve, and we will obey his voice," is what they said to him. People are not always going to have these great intentions that will last. We saw last week with King Josiah. After the law, book of the law was discovered as they're working in the temple, they brought it before the king. The king tore his clothes. He went out later. He read this in the hearing of all the people, and he commanded them then to obey God. And they did so until this king died. And then after the king died, they turned around. They went back to their own way. We've got to be careful on this. We've got to look at the Word of God as something that's much more precious. In the bulletin article for today, I focus our thoughts on Psalm 119. And if you haven't read it yet, there's a challenge in there for us to take this one psalm. It's the longest psalm in the Bible, the longest chapter in the Bible. And the challenge is to take this psalm and to read it once a day for an entire week. The focus of this chapter is to center our minds on the Word of God. There are 22 different sections, one each for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and each section begins in Hebrew with the letter of that alphabet. There are eight verses or eight stanzas to each one of those 22 sections. So the structure is wonderful in its own right. But the thoughts that are there, I challenge you to read this and look at this and to underline those things that are so important. Verse 105 of that chapter says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And that indeed is what we should be using the Bible as. Well, those are some passages in the Old Testament that should give us the basis for knowing that God is serious when he says, "I want you to obey me in all things." Now, let's look over in the New Testament. Let's begin over in the book of 1 Timothy. And let's go there as we look at some New Testament admonitions for us to do what is right. Timothy's talking here to his Paul is talking to Timothy, his young friend. And he says in verse 13, he says, "I want you to give attention to reading and to exhortation and to doctrine." He's talking about reading of the scripture here. And later in verse 15, he says, "Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all." And then he continues by saying, "Take heed to yourself and to doctrine. Continue in them, in so doing, this will save both yourself and those who will hear you." He's talking to Timothy because it's important that Timothy maintains this high respect and high regard for the Word of God. You read this. You meditate on it. You do the things that are right to continue in it. You be an example to the others. He begins this passage by saying, don't let people despise you because of your age, but you be the example to all the believers in this. Now, if we go over just a few pages to the next chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll see a couple of verses here, passages that we're well familiar with. Verses 10 through 17 of chapter 3. "But you have carefully followed my doctrine." We were in this last Sunday night. "You have carefully followed my doctrine or teaching, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, and what persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." This is an admonition, a warning, that even within the spiritual realms, that people will come in to twist the scriptures, to deceive, and to lead people away from the gospel, from the pure gospel and the message of God. "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." This is a great thing here that ties in with his mother and grandmother that taught Timothy when he was young. He says, you need to remember the things that you've learned, who taught you, and the assurance that you have in them. "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that is, it is God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." All Scripture is given by God. Why? So that we might have all the things that we need for this life. The Bible needs to be the foundation upon which we build our lives. The Bible and the truths of it need to be the boundaries by which we guide our decisions and decide what we shall do and what we shall not do. Chapter 2 and verse 15, be diligent, old King James says, study to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to be diligent about our studies. We need to focus on the Word of God. We need to be partners with it. It needs to be a well-known friend to us. When you go to your Bible or you go to your device where you look at the passages, it's a comfort to me. I've mentioned this before that this Bible is a relatively new Bible. I began using it just a month or two before I started the work here. And in the past, I would have taken my notes from the older Bibles I had and transferred them chapter to chapter from the old to the new so I wouldn't lose anything. And this time, what I decided to do was to start fresh and only mark the things here as we study them together. So this Bible that I have for me this becomes a roadmap of where we've been and also shows me where we can go as a group together, as a congregation. And so when I come to a passage and I see that I've been here and it's highlighted and there are marks here and something's underlined and something's written in the margin, it gives me comfort to know we've been here together. We've explored this portion of God's Word. I want you and your own personal Bible or device to be on that type of intimate level. I want us to be the people of the book so much so that as we study the Bible on Sunday and Wednesday together, as we study it on a daily basis, that we go page by page, and when we turn a page and see our marks from before, that we can be just as happy as seeing an old friend again after many years, that we can revisit that passage, that we can know those truths again, and also, and this is key, that our minds might be open to again take in some truth from that. Well, just a few other quick passages now. These come from the book of 1 Peter. In 2 Peter, rather. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to look here at verses 20 and 21. Verses 5 through 11 tell us about growing in the Christian characteristics, Christian graces there, things that we ought to be doing. But look at verses 20 and 21. Peter's talking about things, and people are going to be out there. First and Second Peter talking a lot about false teachers and people that would twist the Scripture. But he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We know that the Bible is given to us by inspiration of God. And when we come to these passages like this, it tells us that the Bible is applicable to all of us. Peter's trying to say the Bible is applicable to all of us in the same way. And so it doesn't mean one thing for one person and one thing for another person. Look at the next three verses in the chapter 2. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring out on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. That's not a very good passage there. Neither is it in verse 18 and following. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But as it happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to wallow in the mire. What Peter's saying here is, be on guard. Know your book. Be a people of the book, because people will come in with the express purpose of twisting and deceiving, seducing, and pulling you away from God's Word. There's another passage there, verses 14 and 8 through 18. We're not going to read that passage, but it goes along with the same thoughts that we've had here. To be a people of the book, be solid and stand on what God's Word says. God's Word will not change and hasn't changed throughout the ages. Man has always tried to change and adapt themselves. But let's make sure that we are a people of the book. First of all, let's make sure that we know the book. And we know it by reading. We know it by learning. We know it by being mentored and taught by others. Let's know the book, and let's not be ashamed of having our Bibles well-marked and well-read. Let's also live the book. Let's become living testimonies to the world that I am following the words of God and the words of Jesus, because I don't participate in the things of this world, because I do take on things from others. I treat others in a way that is biblical, not a way that is worldly. I want to be a living example. And then finally, let's teach the Word as well. Let's teach it. Let's not just keep it to ourselves, but let's be people of the book, sharing the truths of God's Word with us. I want you to pause just for a moment now, and I want you to take your Bibles. Let's close them up, And I want you to just take your Bible and just hold it in your hands. Just hold your Bible or your device in your hands. When we sing about Jesus loves me and other songs, we sing the truths that come from this book. The Bible tells me so. The Bible tells us everything we need in this life. And so many throughout our ages have neglected what the Bible tells us. Let's start with that one fundamental truth at this moment and know that Jesus loves me because the Bible tells me so. Because Jesus loved me, He gave His life for me and for you. Because Jesus loved me, He didn't stay dead, but He rose again. Because Jesus loved me and you, He didn't leave us without a comforter, but He gave us the Spirit and He gave us this inspired Word that gives us the roadmap to be reconciled with God the Father and Jesus the Son. And because Jesus loves us, He has allowed us all to live another day, to have this opportunity to say, am I right with God? Every day is a gift from God. And today is a special gift for all of us because we've been able to come and to worship God as a corporate body together, a congregation of God's people. And as you think about your relationship with God this morning, I want you to ask yourself, am I right with God? Am I doing what His book says for me to do? If you're not, you need to make sure that you're right with God. Pray to God during this song. Come down and let us pray with you. Let's be right with God together. And if you're here this morning and not yet a New Testament Christian, you're missing the great blessings that God has for you. Let the world know that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Let the blood of Jesus Christ wash your sins away as the Lord adds you to the body of Christ. Be a people of the book. Come now while we stand and while we stand.